If you would like to read with me today, turn to the 9th chapter of the Acts of the Apostles. Acts chapter 9, beginning with verse 1. And I want to read the first 9 verses for a reading lesson today. Acts chapter 9, beginning with the first verse. And Saul, yet breathing out threatenings and slaughter against the disciples of the Lord, went unto the high priest and desired of him letters to Damascus to the synagogues, that if he found any of this way, whether they were men or women, he might bring them bound unto Jerusalem. And as he journeyed, he came near Damascus, and suddenly there shined round about him a light from heaven. And he fell to the earth and heard a voice saying unto him, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? And he said, Who art thou, Lord? And the Lord said, I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest. It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. And he, trembling and astonished, said, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? And the Lord said unto him, Arise, and go into the city, and it shall be told thee what thou must do. And the men which journeyed with him stood speechless, hearing a voice, but seeing no man. And Saul arose from the earth, and when his eyes were opened, he saw no man. But they led him by the hand and brought him into Damascus. And he was 3 days without sight, and neither did eat nor drink. And I will stop my reading there with those verses. And I want to use, for a title today, I want to use a question that Saul asked that we find recorded in the 6th verse that I read. And that is, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? That's what I want you to think about with me for a little while today. Lord, what will you have me do? This question, I'm persuaded, is not a question that gets asked nearly enough. It's generally, I'll do what I want to do. I'll just do what pleases me. But we need to think about that. Lord, what is it that you would have me to do? And I believe there's a lot of misconceptions. I believe there's a lot of false beliefs in the minds of people today about our life and about what our life is really for. I believe that one of the greatest things that we can know about our life is to know its true purpose. I mean, what can be more fulfilling than that? To know why that we are actually here. There's no need for us to wonder about that. There's no need for us to wander aimlessly through this life with the question in our mind of what it's all about, because the Scriptures, God's Word, plainly tells us what our lives are about. And we need to try to find the answer to this. Lord, what is it that you would have me to do? I think, and I thought about this as I was listening to that last song, and how many of you can relate to what Brother Ronnie and the choir were singing about? How many of you know what it means to be a royal descendant of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords? How many have been saved by His grace and know what it is and know the great blessing of being a child of God? And you know, when we hear that, and when we sing that, and when we think about that, and when we rejoice greatly in our hearts about that, those of us that have been saved, when we rejoice greatly in that we know the Lord, we need to ask ourselves a question. All right, what am I going to do about that? What am I going to do given the fact that I am a child of the Lord, that I belong to God? Our lives need to be about finding out what the Lord would have us to do. And so I want to share with you today. Now this may, this may cause you to dismay in if you have thoughts about your life belonging to you, but it doesn't. You know, our lives, they don't belong to us. And I want to share with you for a few moments here about what the Scriptures tell us about our lives. And I'm talking primarily right now about those of us that have come to know the Lord and a pardon and forgiveness of sin. I have some things also on my heart that I want to say to you if you are lost today and without God. But I want you to think about this for a moment here. If you have the blessing of knowing the Lord as your Savior, of being saved by His grace, I want you to think about what the Lord would have you to do. You don't believe that the Lord saved us for nothing, do you? I mean, God doesn't do anything. He's not an arbitrary God. He doesn't do anything without reason. He had a reason for sending His Son into this world to make the one and only plan of salvation. God has a reason for saving us. And I'm going to say this, that for each one of us, when He saved us by His grace, it went beyond us just being able to escape the damnations of hell when life is over. There was something and is something for each one of us that God has saved that He wants us to do with this life. This life that we live here on the earth is very important. It's very important, and it's important that we find out what it is that God would have us do and that we do it. That we spend our life here doing what the Lord would have us to do. God has given us life. Has He not? God has given us this earthly life. The Apostle Paul said in his sermon there at Mars Hill in the 17th chapter of Acts, he made it known to those to whom he was speaking there that it is in Him, that is in God, that we live and that we move and that we have our being. God is the giver of life. If you are living today, it's because God gave you life. And He has given us this life that we have here on the earth. Our life here is short. That's one fact that we need to embrace. That's a biblical fact, a scriptural fact about our earthly life, is that it is one that's short. It's temporary. James said it is a vapor. And I want you to notice in that verse there in James, a lot of times that verse is misquoted. If you go read that verse, James said our life is a vapor. He didn't say that it's as a vapor. He said our life is a vapor. It just appears for a little time and then it vanishes away. Life is short. no matter how long that you may live according to the standards of the world. Now, if somebody, you know, somebody today lives, many years on the earth, I mean, somebody that's 90 years old or something, we're going to say, according to the way we look at things, we're going to say that person lived a long life. But it's still a vapor. It's short. I give you a good example of it. I believe you've heard me mention this scripture before. When Jacob and his family finally came into Egypt, there was a question. Jacob and the Pharaoh met, and there was a question that Pharaoh asked him. He said, "Jacob, how old art thou?" And Jacob said, "The days of the years of my pilgrimage have been 130 years. Few and evil have the days of the years of my life been, and have not attained unto those of my fathers. There had been those before him that had lived many more years than that, but here was a man that had lived to be 130, and when asked about that, he said, my days on earth have been few." He realized even at that many years, now we just don't hear people anymore living to be 130 years old, but he realized that even at that his life had been short. And so we have a life that we are living here that's short, and it's temporary, and it'll be finished one day. So when you think about it that way, when you think about us living this earthly life that's short, that's temporary, we really don't have room for error. You know, if you don't use your earthly life properly, if you don't spend your time on the earth properly, you don't get to do it over. We have one shot at it. We have one shot at in this life of thinking about the question, Lord, what would you have me to do? How would you have me to spend my days here on the earth? We have one shot at getting that right, and if we fail in it, then we don't get another opportunity. And I'm going to tell you that there are blessings, there are great blessings and great rewards to every child of God for living their life the way that God would have us to live. There are blessings on the earth for that, and there are blessings and rewards in eternity for that as well. We ought to serve Him the way that He would have us to do. Now here's the worldly thought. Here's the way that the world would have you to look at this, and this is the way that people of the world do look at it. It's your life. Do what you want to do with it. It's yours. Go have fun with it. Do whatever you want to do. Do whatever makes you happy. Do whatever it is that makes you feel good. That's the way that the world looks at life. It's commercialized. I mean, you can see advertisement even that will tell you that that's the way the world looks at life. Just do whatever satisfies the flesh. Now here's God's teaching. God's teaching is not like what the world is saying. God's teaching is not the way that the world looks at life. God's teaching is, I did not give you life to do whatever you want with it. I gave you, it's not about satisfying your flesh. It's not about whatever makes you feel good. That's not why I gave you life. I did not give it to you for you to spend your time here wasting it away on meaningless things. You are under duty. You are bound under duty to reverence me and to keep my commandments. That's what God's word tells us about life. That's what God's word tells us about man. You know, I believe that God is gracious. I believe that God loves us. I believe that he will give us time along the way to do things and to enjoy things as long as they're not contrary to him. I believe God gives us time to enjoy things, but I'll tell you what, I enjoy serving the Lord. I don't know how many of you remember this. It's been probably, maybe 4 or 5 years back, something like that. Brother J.P. Doss testified here, and I don't know if this was during a revival, and he was testifying, and he said that, there are people in the world today that say, well, if you become a Christian, you can't have any fun. If you become a Christian, you can't enjoy yourself. You can't go out and have fun. And then he stopped, and he said, I'm having fun. Isn't it a great joy? I mean, isn't it fun to serve the Lord? I mean, that gives me great joy. I'll tell you what, I'd rather be right here today with you, worshiping the Lord, honoring the Lord, singing songs, praising the Lord, sharing our burdens with each other, having this worship service together today than any place else on earth I can think of. I love to be in the Lord's service and be with God's people. In Ecclesiastes chapter 12, verse 13, I don't want you to think this is just me making it up. I want to give you scriptural proof of what I said about what God expects us to do with our time on the earth. And in Ecclesiastes chapter 12, verse 13, Solomon said, let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. This is the whole purpose of man. What are we here for? Are we here to satisfy ourselves? Are we here to satisfy our flesh? Are we here to spend our time consumed in the things that matter to us? No. That's what the world thinks that we're here for, but we're not. We're here to live our lives for God. I want to say this, if you're here today and you're lost and without the Lord. When God deals with you, when he knocks on your heart, when he deals with your inner man by his Holy Spirit, God is not merely making a suggestion to you. God's word does not just make a suggestion to you. God's word does not just say, well, you know what? I made a way of salvation and you really ought to think about it. You know, it might be something that you would want to consider. Let me tell you something. If you are here today and you're lost and you're separated from God, your sin has made that separation. That's exactly what we're told in the 59th chapter of Isaiah, that our sins have separated between us and our God. And God is offended in that, and he has commanded all men everywhere to repent. Let me tell you something, lost friend. Make no mistake about it. You are under command from God to repent of your sins and to place your trust in him and to be saved. And if you reject that and you push that away while you have the opportunity in this life to seek him and be saved, you're going to stand one day before a God that's angry with you. He gave the best he had in order for you to be saved. And God is not going to take it lightly for anybody that rejects his commandment. And that's exactly what there again, going back to the sermon at Mars Hill there in the 17th chapter of the Acts of the Apostles, that's exactly what Paul said when he preached to those idolaters there in Athens. He said that God has commanded. God has not just made a light suggestion. God has commanded all men everywhere to repent. And so, lost friend, listen, if you do not do that, if you do not repent of your sins, then you are transgressing God's commandment towards you. It's commanded, and it is expected. And you know, listen, when we have been saved, I think we take this way too lightly. I'm just going to tell you straight out, church, I believe we take the things of God way too lightly. We are expected. God expects us. God demands of us that we live our lives according to His Word. He expects it. And He will not settle for anything less. I'm afraid sometimes we think we can hear the Word of God. We can hear the message of God. We can hear those things, and I'm going to share some scriptures with you, but we can hear those things that God's Word says to us as His people, and we can just take those things and we can brush them off, and we can react so lightly to those things. But I'm going to tell you something. Whenever that we hear God's Word, we have the responsibility to react appropriately to God's Word. And if you think today that you can just take God's Word and throw it aside and say, well, you know, I'm not really too worried about that, that won't happen. God will hold us responsible for how that we live our lives. If we live it wrong, if we spend our time here wrong, if we live our lives in a way that God, you know, has not told us to, then He will not be pleased with our lives. He just won't be pleased with us. We need to know what it is. Let me tell you something. Let me speak to you for a moment as young Christians. You need to set this precedence in your life. You need to find out what God wants you to do. You are, some of you here are in the years of your life where in just in the next few years, you're going to be faced with some big decisions in life. And you don't need to be guided by your own desires, and you don't need to be guided by your own thoughts. You need for God to lead you and guide you. Listen, if you want to end up in this life where you're really supposed to be, you need to be led by the Spirit of God. You need to be directed. You need to let God direct your path and let God order your steps. And you need to seek His will in life. And you don't need to look at things and just say, well, that looks good to me. I think that would make me happy. Me. No, you need to find out what God would have you to do. Not enough of that. You see people in this life, listen, oftentimes even Christian people, you see people in this, they're just miserable in life. They hate what they do. They're not content with anything. They're stressed out. You know, I mean, they're just stressed to the max. They can't stand what they do. And listen, oftentimes, maybe a lot of the problem to begin with is that God was never consulted in the matter from the beginning. You just went off and chased your own dreams. and did what was right to you and never even ask your Father in heaven, Lord, what would you have me to do? What's your will for me in this life? Well, do we need to ask that? I believe we do. You know why I believe that? Because we belong to God. We're God's property. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 19 and 20. What? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own? What do you mean, preacher? I'm not my own. You're not your own. He goes on and tells us what he means. For ye are bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. Listen, you can get happy. You can be happy in the Lord. You can be happy in your salvation. You can say, oh, thank God I'm one of the redeemed. Well, let me tell you something. Let me tell you what that means. When you are redeemed, it means you've been purchased and that you no longer belong to yourself. God bought you. When he saved you, he bought you and he owned you. Body and soul, completely. We are his purchased possession. And so, you know, we can't rightfully say, well, I don't have to ask the Lord what he wants. I can just do whatever I want to do. I can do whatever makes me feel good. I can do whatever pleases me. No. No, we can't. Because we have been purchased by God. The Apostle Paul, he wrote about this in just about every epistle that he wrote. In Colossians, in the first three verses of the third chapter of Colossians, the Apostle Paul said, if ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affections on things above, not on things on the earth. For ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. Now he didn't, you know, he wasn't saying physically dead. He was saying that if you are risen with Christ, if you've had that spiritual resurrection, if you have been saved by the grace of God, then you are to seek heavenly things. You are to seek those things that are above, those things of the Lord. We are to set our affections on those things and not on things of the earth. Let me tell you something. You know, one of the biggest problems with us today as God's people, we have got our eyes too much on the world. Too much. We've got our affections and our eyes fixed too much on temporal things. Believe it if you want to. Don't believe it if you don't. I'm convinced of it, that we have got our eyes fixed too much on the temporal things of the world rather than the things of God. Seek those things which are above. Set your affections on those things, not on earthly things. For you're dead. You've died to sin. You've died to that old life. You've been made alive in Christ. To be dead to sin is the same as being alive unto God. You are alive unto God. Your life is hid with Christ in God. So we need to live according to what the Apostle Paul wrote to the Romans in the 12th chapter of Romans. I beseech you therefore, brethren, the first two verses. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto who? Unto you. Holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. But boy, I'll tell you what, we see something today, if it glitters and it shines and it's sparkly and it's worldly, we're just all over it, aren't we? We're just all over it. But I'm going to tell you something. Jesus Christ did not come here and die. He did not come here and suffer the things he suffered. He did not come here and die even the death of the cross so that you and I could have these temporal things. He came here for us to have eternal things. Eternal blessings. Eternal life. Eternal treasures. Have you asked the Lord, Christian friend? Have you asked Him lately? Have you got down on your knees before the one that saved you and in a pure and a true heart said, Lord, what is it that you want from me? What is it that you want from my life? What is it that you want me to do? Or is it all about you? Well, you know, I'll leave that to you to answer that question. But you ought to ask it. Lord, what can I do for you? We ask Him all the time to do things for us, don't we? I mean, we ask the Lord day in and day out, Lord, do this for me. Lord, do that for me. We make our requests and our petitions and our supplications before Him. Lord, give me this. Give me that. Lord, help me with this. Help me with that. And far too often without ever turning back and saying, Lord, what can I do for you? Without asking the question that David asked in the 116th Psalm. Go read it. David said, I love the Lord because He heard my voice and my supplications. Therefore will I call upon Him as long as I live. The sorrows of death compassed me. The pains of hell got hold upon me. I found trouble and sorrow. Then called I upon the name of the Lord. O Lord, I beseech Thee, deliver my soul. Gracious is the Lord and righteous. Yea, our God is merciful. I was brought low and He helped me. Return unto Thy rest, O my soul. For Thou hast dealt bountifully with Thee. For Thou hast delivered my soul from death, mine eyes from tears, and my feet from falling. I will walk before the Lord in the land of the living. And what is it in those in that chapter there after David had expressed what the Lord had done for him? Can you relate to that? Can you relate to that time when the sorrows of death compassed you, when the pains of hell had a hold of you, and you found that trouble and sorrow, and then you turned to the Lord and begged Him to deliver you from that, and God graciously saved you and delivered you from that? When that had happened to David, he turned to the Lord and he said, what shall I render unto you for all of your benefits toward me? Have you asked Him that? Lord, thank you for saving me. Thank you for your grace. I know I didn't deserve it. I know I didn't merit eternal life. Thank you for saving my unworthy soul. Now, what would you have me to do for you? Will you be anything? Are you willing to be anything that He would have you to be? If there's something else that you would rather be, are you willing to be what God would have you to be? Are you willing to go where God would have you go? I hope so. I hope so. Because we need to be sold out to the service of the Lord. Sold out. We need to embrace the reality of our life, save friend, that it belongs to God and not to us. If you're here today and you're lost, you need to embrace the reality. You need to believe it with all your heart that you are under express commandment from God to repent of your sins and to trust Him and to be saved, that He can use you in this life, that He can make of you what He would have you to be. Too much of our lives is about us. It's too much about us. It needs to be more about Him and more about His cause.